Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we have beautiful Julia Ryan, the proud mum of two beautiful boys, William and Ryder, and the founder of William Ready.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, it's sunny in Melbourne.
Yep.
It's actually a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
18 degrees.
We need to be outside, actually, before it gets too wintry.
Yeah, yep. Because winter's coming in more ways than one.
It's been winter in my heart for about 7 days.
By the time you're hearing this, hopefully we are about to leave our two-week lockdown.
Yep, but we've been in it.
I just want to say, Melbourne, we like to do things well. We had that original 6-week lockdown, went to 12 weeks last year. We had a 1-week lockdown, it's gone to 2.
Yep.
So we love lockdown.
And so do you, listeners, don't
you?
Yeah,
so
do you. You love hearing us in lockdown.
You love it.
So anyway.
I did have a big mask hunt. I was like, I'm going on a mask hunt.
Yeah, so it's hard to find them.
The ones without seams and the ones.
Mask hunt, say that fast. You better be careful.
Sorry to people. Well, it is a bit of a mask hunt, I'll tell you that.
Be very, very careful with your pronunciation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
I did as well. I was like, I don't know where they all are.
No.
I found them and we're back in business.
We're back in mask town.
Anyway, we are not going to go on and on about that today.
No. We're going to talk to our beautiful guest.
Yes, and we're very excited to have her. So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi, Mandy and Kate. Hello, followers. So excited to be here. My name is Julia. I'm a proud mum of two beautiful boys, William and Ryder, and I'm the founder of William Ready. So thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Oh, we're excited.
Yeah, we are excited. If we weren't remote recording, we would have actually got to meet you. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that.
I know. That's all right. It's all right. It's another week. We can do it.
We can do it. Yeah,
right.
We're tough in Melbourne.
Yep. So I met you in 2019, I think, when we both had a stand at the Source Kids Disability Expo and we were opposite each other.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
And we hit it off, actually.
I know.
We were in the breaks when there wasn't too many people around.
Yeah.
We were like, how's your day going?
Yeah.
How's your day going?
Yeah.
And you had all your sleep remedies and everything about sleep school, which is amazing. And your little area, smelled amazing.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. We would just come out like, do you think people are coming? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, that was so busy. Oh, yeah, it was fun.
Oh, I know. And then I remember a couple of days ago you texted me and you said you weren't there the second day. And I'm like, wow.
I know, because I was blown away because you went to a wedding or something.
Yes. I think I had – it was a wedding? No, it was a 40th actually, right. In the bush, and we were camping.
I know, and I was like, you've come from this. You've set up. You've done all day at the expo. Now you're going to a camping 40th?
It wasn't that we slept in the car.
I know.
I was like, oh, that doesn't sound fun at all.
And your sister was heavily pregnant because she came to take over. So, yeah, I was like, wow, what a team.
You do have a good memory.
Well, I was just going back to the hotel and lying flat on the bed. So I was like, these two women want powerhouses. Yeah.
It was good fun though.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's so nice chatting to everyone and hearing their story and then showing them what we've got.
Yeah.
And it was a good day, actually. Yeah. A good 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did it again this year and I came and saw you as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I think this year was just amazing. There was a time, so my husband Andy and I did it together.
Yeah.
There was a good 3 hours where we just did not say anything to each other. It was that flat out.
Yeah.
It was that busy.
Amazing.
You know, and people hearing our story and then hearing their story and just walking around and having a good day. It was really good.
And knowing that everyone's like-minded is lovely. Yeah.
So, so nice. Yeah. So I found this year I was exhausted. I was literally... the Saturday night, I was just like, I need to go to bed.
Yep.
I need to lay down.
Yep.
But it was good. We love doing those expos and conferences. Yeah. They were fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We missed them all last year.
Yes, we did. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll get back onto them.
Let's start our questions. Sorry, I jumped ahead.
That's not like Mandy. All right. So the first question is, do you have any music or songs or bands who either get you through good times or bad times?
Well, funnily enough, I have been working on something behind the scenes the last couple of months. So we'll get into my, you know, my pea shoot and all of that. But I often journal and I write down my thoughts, how I'm feeling at the end of the day. It's just a little notebook. And I just write down, you know, the struggles that have gone on during the day and what good things have happened. And William, my autistic son, he loves music.
Mm.
So I found myself writing down things and then William and I would sing them to each other.
Oh, so Julia.
It's become a bit of a passion and this I've started writing a little bit of a poem and then I'm like, wow, this could turn into a bit of a song.
Oh.
So we both find each other dancing and singing, William and I, to these songs, and that's his happy place, everything that's gone on. He always comes back to music.
Yeah.
So watch this space.
Oh.
There might be something coming.
Wow.
For believing in yourself and having kids, just never give up.
Yeah.
That's sort of the theme. And I'm always telling William that he's amazing and that he's perfect the way he is.
Yeah,
so,
he is.
I kind of just make up songs as we go and that kind of makes him happy and keeps me going. So, aside from that, I actually love listening to Adele and Jess Glynn.
Yeah.
I love their songs.
Yes.
Their voices are beautiful and I just find them really comforting.
Yep.
So we have music on in the house most days, just the boys just dancing around and finding comfort in that. So whatever's on, we just listen along
to.
Lovely.
Great. Yep. And what about, did you win any awards at school?
When this question came through, I really had to think about it and I had to ring my mum and my sister.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was sitting there thinking, I don't think I did. I know in grade 6 we played softball a lot. So I think there was an award like for softball, but that was a team effort. So I can't really take the credit for
that. You can. The best.
Who's going to know?
Yeah. Well, you come to us.
Is the whole team listening? No.
Apparently you threw the ball in at third base and then got that person out.
Yep.
You won the whole thing.
You did.
Yeah, it was you.
Yeah, we'll take that. I'll take that. I was actually good at swinging. I was good at, you know, batting. So I'll take that one. We'll just go
good
with
on
that.
You. Good on you. I know, but they weren't that big a deal when we were growing
up.
No,
they weren't.
Unless you were really, really, exactly. really super yeah, smart yeah, and you yeah. got those academic awards, you know. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with that one then.
Yeah. And the our favourite question, why are you a P?
Well, I think I'm a P for probably two reasons. So lucky me. My eldest son, William, as I said, is autistic. He was diagnosed with autism at 22 months, mm-hmm. so just before his second birthday. Right. And at the same time as his diagnosis, I had my youngest little boy, Ryder. He was a preemie. Mm. He was born just before 36 weeks and he spent 4.5 weeks in NICU in the special care nursery fighting for life while I was in intensive care. And he's had a little bit of a battle and quite a few operations since then. So, you know, I've got two little boys that, you know, I love to be on measure, but they both require different needs and different support. So, you know, that time in our lives was, I can't even remember how we got through it, to be honest. No. It was, you know, it all happened at the same time. So Ryder was born and we got the diagnosis of William all at the same time.
Right. So, so when was that diagnosis? Was Ryder already home or in hospital or?
He was already home. So William, there's 19 months between the boys. Mm-hmm. And it was probably back around 12 months when William was born. I struggled to get pregnant with William. I always knew I wanted to have babies and be a mum. And I had endometriosis and polycystic ovaries. So it took over about 2.5 years to conceive William. Mm. And we finally got that positive result and I was just over the moon and I couldn't wait to meet him. It was the most beautiful little baby, gentle, you know, didn't cry much. He slept from 6 weeks of age. He was a really, really good baby.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it got to about 12 months and we kind of realised that there were some signs that were perhaps quite not the norm. Mm. So there was hand flapping and he wasn't really looking at me and he didn't have any words and I suppose it wasn't until William's 18-month checkup with the maternal childcare health nurse that things became a bit real. Mm. And at that point, Ryder was born. So my sister and my mum ended up taking William to that 18-month checkup with the health nurse.
Wow.
Which was pretty amazing. I was in intensive care, actually, right on.
So, well, what happened that you're in intensive care?
So both pregnancies, I had an amazing pregnancy. Actually, I love being pregnant. I love seeing my belly grow and I didn't have morning sickness and anything like that. With Ryder, he was, my tummy wasn't probably that big growing. You know, it didn't seem to be getting bigger and bigger. And I had a private obstetrician and everything at that point seemed to be going okay. So, you know, I trusted the obstetrician and we just kept going and I felt the kicks and everything like that. And at 36, just before 36 weeks, I went in for our scan with the private obstetrician and he said to me, your baby's not growing. Mm. We need to get him out in 2 days' time.
Right.
And I'd had a cesarean with William and I kind of hoped to have natural with Ryder, but I was open to, you know, whatever happened, as long as they come out and they're safe and okay.
Mm.
So that really hit me. I was like, wow, he's coming out in 2 days' time. And I went to that appointment by myself. My husband, Andy, was in a meeting in the city. So I came out of the meeting, out of the appointment, and within 15 minutes of me walking back to the car, my whole body started to shut down.
Oh, goodness.
So I felt sick. I felt this intense chest pain right at the top of me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's going on? I don't think I can drive.
Oh.
So I went back into the obstetrician's office and I said, I really don't feel very well. And he said, we'll just sit here and have a rest. And half an hour went by and I started throwing up, and this intense pain here was,
oh my gosh,
getting really intense. And I was like, what is going on? And, you know, I was okay up until 36 weeks. I have no clue of what was happening to me.
Yeah.
My husband ended up coming to get me, and we went straight to Waverley Private Hospital. And the nurses were like, I think you've got gastro. And I'm like, this isn't gastro. This isn't what's going on. And we were in there, and they were checking baby, they were checking me, and the obstetrician came in, and no one knew what was going on. And then finally the anaesthetist came in, and he was amazing. I'm so thankful for him. He came in and he said, I think Julia has got HELLP syndrome, which is H-E-L-L-P, and it's basically where your liver and your kidneys shut down. And the only way for mum and baby to survive is to have the baby straight away.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Mm.
And there was one point where I remember Andy looking at me, and I looked at Andy, and we couldn't feel his or hear his heartbeat, and we had to get him out then and there. So I was rushed off. Literally emergency cesarean. There was no more time. He had to come out, and he came out just in time, and he was taken off, and he went straight to NICU and was, you know, looked at, and Andy went out to his family and my family that were waiting out in the waiting room and said, Ryder's okay. He's going to be okay, but Julia is not okay.
Oh.
And they're like, well, what's going on? And I was taken to Knox Private Hospital in an ambulance.
Wow.
I spent four days in intensive care.
Oh, my goodness.
And, trying to get myself strong and fighting for life to survive. And I remember there was one split second where I think it was my husband and my sister had brought Ryder out to me just to have a look at him. And then I was off in the ambulance. So
you were awake during all that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it just happened so fast. I remember them working super fast to get him out because there was no time. And I remember them saying he was basically the size of a 31-week-old. So he was 1.7 kilos when he was born.
Yes.
Little, yeah. He was okay. He just needed to get big and strong, you know. So he stayed for 4.5 weeks at Waverley Private.
Right.
And I was at Knox Private here in Melbourne at private hospitals here. And I spent, 4 days in intensive care. So on the fourth day I finally got to hold Ryder.
Oh.
I was taken back to, Waverley Private, and I finally got to hold him on day four.
Oh. Do you remember that?
Bits of it. Yeah, I remember little bits. I remember that there were certain times that I could hold him because he had to go back into his little, you know, as you both would know.
Yep, we do.
There's certain times that you're allowed to hold them, right? So he spent, 4 weeks there, and I just needed to get myself right, but thankfully my milk came in, I was able to breastfeed him. And I was finally able to go home, and he stayed there, and as you both know, it's the hardest thing in the world to leave them.
Yep.
And I remember that day, I remember getting back to the car, and I was devastated that he was there and I was going home.
Mm.
I was going home to William.
Yes.
But I didn't have Ryder with me.
Yeah, it just feels wrong.
And
yeah.
It does. Mm. Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah. Can't really describe it.
until you go through it, it's really hard to explain, really, isn't it?
Mm.
So you made a pretty quick recovery. How long were you in Waverley for yourself? Like, did you come back and
Yeah, get well so there. 4 days in intensive care, and then I think I spent another 6 days at Waverley. Right. And I was able to see him at certain times, and the nurses there were amazing.
Yeah.
They were just incredible, you know. You just really feel for them. I love that they took care of him, you know.
And, well, they're part of really, the team, aren't they?
Mm.
Oh, they really are. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I remember, like, what just happened. Like, yes. So much of it is such a blur, yeah. and you really think, how did that happen? How did I get through it? Yes. But you don't really have a choice. You have a choice, but you don't.
Yeah.
You know,
no, you don't.
You have to just.
Yep.
Yeah.
And were you able to process anything that happened to you and your body at all with the HELLP syndrome?
I don't think I really did, and I don't think I really have. I remember one of the nurses coming in and saying to me, what just happened to you was life-threatening.
Yes.
You know, I think you really need to go see someone and talk about it.
Yeah.
I didn't at the time, and I probably should have.
Oh, you're busy.
It was just too much going on.
It's too busy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went in because I had cesarean. I had to have family and friends drive me in when I was home. And
yes.
To go back and see him, but there were certain feeds that he needed to have, and I was so lucky that my body was okay afterwards.
Yes.
To be able to breastfeed
him. What a recovery.
So there was like 11 o'clock feed and a 3 p.m. feed that I had to go back in for, and they were pretty strict on time.
Yes.
Like, I remember I was driving there and they're like, are you nearly here? he needs his food.
Yeah, okay, I'm coming. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, so and I had friends and family sit with me while I, you know, was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'd go back home, and then I'd go back for the 3 o'clock feed. And I had an amazing pediatrician, and he finally said yes to allowing Ryder to come home when he hit the magic 2 kilos.
Yes, yes. It's a big deal, each kilo.
Oh, when they go up and down.
And 2 kilos is still little.
It's still little.
Very little.
Very little. So that was an exciting day. Finally was able to come home. So I think that would have been about, 4.5 weeks of him being at in the hospital. And
how was William during that time? How did he cope?
He was pretty off in his own little world, to be honest. So as I said, when Ryder was born, my mum and my sister took William to his 18-month checkup with the health nurse.
That's right.
And they had seen some red flags with William, limited words. He didn't have any pretend play. He was just seemed to be, looking into space and off in his own little world. So they had said to my sister and my mum, Julia's in hospital. I'll write down what I'm seeing now, but let's come back in 6 weeks when Julia's out of hospital.
Oh, that was good.
That was great. So Liz, my sister, had jotted down in a notepad everything that she had said that day. And when I was home with Ryder and I was finally able to go back to the health nurse, we went back in and she said, I think there's signs of autism here.
Right.
I want to send you to La Trobe Uni for an assessment.
Okay,
And that was back in 2015. So,
what a time!
Forever, forever thankful for that health nurse to help me and to see that I was struggling and that William probably needed some support.
Yeah.
So, I still see her now, and I'm forever grateful for that health nurse.
Yeah.
And I think now all health nurses are trained in having this. A tool to look at the signs.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure they're all trained now, aren't they?
Well, I think so, and that's what the milestones are for.
Yeah.
Much as we don't love them, but that's what they're for, and they are really handy.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she sent us to La Trobe Uni, and that was like a 3-hour assessment where they looked at everything and anything. And I had Ryder with me, and Andy was there, my husband. And after about 3 hours, I remember them coming in and they said those words, "So your son has autism." Mm. I felt like I knew it was coming, but then at the same time when those words are said to you, it just hits you.
Yeah, it's very different when you hear it to thinking it.
Yes, and they left me with a pile of information and a whole heap of books and pieces of paper and, you know, a whole heap of stuff. And I went back to the car and I just remember bawling my eyes out, you know. I just remember crying. I was like, what's just happened? I've got a newborn and my little William.
Yeah.
Nearly died.
Yes.
Like, literally, what's happening here? And I just cried and cried. And it was a time where I, you know, you don't plan for this, right?
No.
You really don't.
Yeah. So.
And had you had any history of autism in your family? Like, did you have friends and family that had it?
No. You know, I definitely heard of the word autism, but until it affects your family and everyone around you, you don't really know what's next. And I felt the months and the weeks that followed, I found it really hard to understand and grasp. And I remember Andy, my husband, was just devastated. You know, you picture this life for your child and now it suddenly seems unknown.
Yes.
You know, how are they going to go at school? And are they going to have friends?
Yes.
Are they going to be invited to birthday parties?
Yes, all of those things. Are they going to drive? Are they going to go to uni? Yep. All the things that you think of.
People going to be kind to them?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it turned my whole world upside down. And I suppose my husband and I aren't the type to just sit there and be negative and dwell on things. So we got straight to buying every book and researching and doing everything that we could to help him.
Mm.
At 2 years of age, he didn't have any words. And little things like making sure doors were closed and staring at ceilings. And we saw this sort of pattern of his obsessiveness over things. Mm. You know, he would really find loud noises challenging. Mm. A truck would go past or the vacuum cleaner was just horrendous for him. Mm. But we started getting all the support that he needed. So we did OT and we did psych and we did speech and we did physio and, the list went on and on and on.
Mm.
And, it was just it must full have been on, therapy, you know,
every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And that was just our normal, you know.
Mm. And you had a little baby.
And you're dragging the baby too. Yeah.
And for him it was just, he doesn't know any different.
No, right?
He just had to go along with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did
you go to a centre for early intervention or did you have separate people everywhere?
Yeah, so we started off with a separate speech therapist and a separate psych, but the following year, after he was diagnosed, I pushed and pushed, and I finally got him in 2016, the Autism Early Learning and Care Support Centre at La Trobe Uni.
Awesome.
I think we've had a few people have been there. Yes.
Oh, it was incredible. Mm. And they don't take many children per year, and I was super, super lucky to get in or have William in there. So that was only for 1 year.
Right.
But it was amazing. Mm. He was about 2.5 when he was accepted into that room there, and it was a combination of neurotypical and neurodiverse children. The carers were amazing, and he spent a year there learning, you know, they would set down goals for term 1, 2, 3 and 4, and we'd work on the goals, and there was just an amazing support there. So they did have speech therapy there and they did have a psych there. Mm. And forever thankful again that I got him in there. And yeah. It really started his journey of support at the Trobe Uni. Yep.
And that was one place to go. You didn't have to source it everywhere. Drive here, drive there. Exactly. Drive here, drive there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he was there for, a whole year, and it was, I think, 3 days a week. So it was full days. It was about 9 till 4 for 3 days a week.
Right.
Yeah, so that was incredible. That was really, really amazing. I think back to the first day where his anxiety was so full on that he couldn't even walk through the door to at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He was just high-fiving everyone, dancing and having a ball. So he absolutely loved that. But I knew it was only for a year.
Yeah, so then what was next, kinder or something?
Exactly. Yeah, I had to start thinking about the next phase and what he was doing next. So that was sort of three-year-old and four-year-old kinder was the next thing.
Yes.
Andy and I started looking at kindergartens and schools that offer prep to year 12, and we started doing tours and we're like, what does he really need? While we were still doing speech and OT and psych and all that, we were like, what's going to be the best thing for him?
Mm.
We found a school local to us, a private school, and we had hoped that he was going to start there in 3 and 4 year old kinder and work his way up all through to year 12. We thought, having the regular 3 and 4 year old kinder all through the year 12 was going to be helpful for him.
Yeah.
And we did tour same at the place. School.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they met William after weeks of appointments and interviews. And they gave us every indication, every impression that he would be accepted at this school. And I remember the phone call about 6 weeks later to say, we're not going to accept your son at our school.
Wow. Are they allowed to do that?
Well, they did.
Yeah.
Private schools.
Yep. Private schools.
They can do whatever they want.
Well, they can't do whatever they want. But, wow.
And that was devastating.
Yeah.
Their first, I guess, into schools and our first, what's ahead of us, and we had this happen to us. And I was like, really? Can they do that? You know, they're all about inclusiveness on their website. And
right,
Julia. Yeah.
It's easy to say it.
It was just
exactly.
And they didn't want to support us and William and my family. So it was
I think they get away with it because they private schools, you can't really get aid funding. So they say you'll have to go to a state school to get the aid funding. That's how they get away with it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think you're right because it's a totally different ball game as opposed to mainstream, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you were back to the drawing board then. Where were you going to start looking then?
So we were like, that took a little bit to get over.
That was a sting.
And it was your plan.
And looking back now, it's probably the best thing that ever happened. You know, why would I want to send him there when they didn't want him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. That's a big red flag right there.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So we eventually found a local kindergarten, which were amazing.
Yes.
They accepted William and they loved him for who he was.
Yep.
And it was just incredible. And he was still in, pull up nappies in 3 and 4 year old kinder, and they were great with that. They were great with his, differences and his challenges, but worked on his strengths. And awesome. I am forever grateful. Shout out to Yarrawarra Kindergarten.
Oh, good on you, Yarrawarra.
Good on you, Yarrawarra.
Oh, yeah, good on you, beautiful
the
peaches.
Most beautiful people. Mm. Oh, yeah.
And you're in your community.
It's just incredible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And so, when we started kindergarten, we then found between my husband and my sister some extra support that might be great for William. So we set up basically a school at the bottom level of our house for William. to get him prepared for school.
Right.
Wow. We had this space not being utilized in our home, and my sister Liz is a primary school teacher, and she's amazing, and she's worked with kids with autism and diverse needs for many, many years. And she said, I want to help Will. I want to get him ready for primary school.
Oh, what a beautiful sister. Auntie, chickpea, peacher. Oh, my gosh, the works.
I know. Oh, dear. I know. So I was just, it was my idea, and I approached her, and she was like, yep, I want to help him. I want to do it all I can. So we converted the bottom level of our house into a school for him.
Which is perfect for 2020. You had it ready to go.
Exactly.
Little did you know. Didn't have to go anywhere. Yeah, gee. Right, and so what did that look like? Did she come a couple of times a week or what?
Yeah. So once a week she worked one-on-one with him, and we upped the hours. So it would start with 1 hour and then she'd do two, and we got up to 4 or 5 hours every Friday, and she'd work on everything from fine motor, gross motor, sensory. Like there'd be a trip to the hairdressers because he struggled to get his hair cut and things like that. So numeracy, literacy, and then she would come back to us, and being my sister, she was really open, and she said the bond between them was incredible as well. Yes. You know,
so. She loved him and he loved her.
Yes. Like that's exactly. Perfect.
And that's a perfect mix. All teacher student relationships exist unless some form of not love, but respect
or attachment of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he'd come upstairs and be so happy and tell me about what they did. Aww. And, you know, there was lots of fun down there. And as the years went on, or as the months went on, I should say, we started thinking of tools and products and things that we couldn't really find out in the market for William. Mm. He loved letters and numbers, but he struggled putting pen to paper. Yes. And my husband's an engineer, and my sister being a teacher and William being my son, we started designing some products to help him, and in particular our handwriting stencils. So we got to work and design some products for him and use them throughout the year when Liz was working with him, and they were amazing. He loved them.
And how did you make them? Did you 3D print them or what did you do?
3D print them. Okay. Yes. Yep. So these are handwriting stencils that are all differentiated with different colours, so uppercase, lowercase and numbers. And it was amazing with numbers. He's always loved numbers and letters, but he struggled with where to put his pencil and where to do his A and his B and things like that. So we started buying 3D printers, and we would, my amazing husband, very creative, put his mind to good use and started designing these handwriting stencils. So they're individualized, so he could pick up the W and the I and the L and start clicking together his name, and then he could start tracing them.
Yeah, brilliant.
Right. So do they sort of go together like a jigsaw puzzle?
Exactly.
So you can make any name you want.
Yeah, names, sentences, you know, maths equations. So we started thinking, wow, well, these are really great for William. Maybe we can help everyone else. Maybe there's something out there. So we decided to start putting these products out in the market for everyone.
Amazing. How did you start? Did you have just a Facebook page or what did you?
So started a Facebook page, started taking photos of our products, started taking videos of William using the products, started getting in contact with other toy shops saying, hey, you know, we've got these products. What do you think of them? And the word kind of got out and, you know, we started thinking, well, schools, maybe this would be great for schools and OTs and therapists and things like that. Yeah, so things evolved and we started bringing in more products, and that's really how William Ready was created.
Amazing.
So, you know, we found that there was a need and William loved the products and we kind of just went from there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love
that
name.
It's a cool name.
William Reddy. It's very cute.
Yeah, it is.
It's very meaningful.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. William being, you know, ready for the next stage.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very clever.
Very clever.
And so do you do that full time, sort of, ish?
Yeah. So Andy finished up in the corporate world and quit his business, quit his job, and started William Reddy full time.
Wow, that's enormous.
So that's to support two of you, well, four of you.
Yeah, that is enormous. Exactly. Huge. So we had some money there to renovate the house, but we were like, you know, we're going to put this all into the business.
Good on you.
Give everything that we can possibly give. And so between my sister and my husband and I, we started with the products, and then we were really fortunate enough to have schools approach us to start doing sensory spaces for them.
Yes.
So we started doing spaces in schools and in the home. So children would come in and say, I need this, or I struggle with this, and we'd sit with the teachers of the school and work out how many children with additional needs and what space did they need, you know, converted into a beautiful sensory space for them, indoor or outdoor. So we started working with schools, and we started working with kids in the homes as well. So that was amazing. That led on to that as well, which was super exciting.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Was that just taking off last year or before the pandemic?
Yeah. We found that in the homes, they were really, really struggling, you know, that they just needed a space just to be themselves and to be there, off in their own little environment where they didn't have to be anyone else, you know. Yes. They could just relax and, all while this was going on, we still had, William at this stage now at school and Ryder at kinder. So we just kept going and now we've built William Reddy to, you know, be an online space as well, where online products and the sensory spaces as well. So it's super exciting from where we once were.
Yes.
When we first helped William.
But isn't that the power of authenticity? This is
exactly.
A family. This is what we need for our child. Mm. Let's give it out to the world and see what happens. Oh,
exactly.
It's where the best dreams come from.
It is. And that's why I always think if someone who ran the country had children who are a little bit more diverse, maybe.
Yes.
Schooling, et cetera, could be changed.
Yes, that's right.
Because
people vaccinated.
Yes, that's right. All these things could happen.
That's right. And it's amazing people on the ground that do this stuff.
Mm.
Life-changing.
Yes. Mm. And totally.
You can make a child be able to go to school and happily write their name along with their peers. Oh, my gosh, what a gift.
What a gift.
Right?
Yes.
It's priceless.
Oh,
so
you must
really feel fulfilled by what you're doing.
Oh, it really makes you smile, and I think, you know, it's helping all children, really, whether it's sensory or educational, that if they can be in the classroom and have that sensory tool that helps them get through the day, or if they've got the confidence to believe in themselves through our products, you know, that's what keeps us going and that's what makes us happy.
Yeah.
And I suppose this wouldn't have happened if
school
had rejected William.
No,
William wasn't diagnosed.
Yes.
You know, like it just all leads to.
Well, yes, this podcast, we would probably not be friends.
No, that's right.
2004, Kate, 2004, Mandy, maybe.
Probably not friends.
So that's right. That's where all the best things come from.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
And you know, William has opened up my world
to
things that I never, ever imagined.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, that is the best part.
It really is the best part.
It is.
Yeah, and life is so much more full.
It is.
Really is. Yes, absolutely. I often write blogs and I journal and Liz and I would been fortunate enough to get up on stage and share our stories, actually, from the mother's perspective and also from the teacher's perspective, where we've gone up and shared our journeys. And I actually had done a blog the other day, a couple of months ago, William was invited to a birthday party and it was the best thing ever. Mm. I know in previous podcasts you guys have talked about birthday parties mm-hmm. and not being invited and being invited. And honestly, it was the best thing, but it was the most exciting thing for William to yes. be invited yes. to his birthday party. Yes. And it's little people. Things like that
I know.
That you take for granted.
I know, you do.
People just do not understand nope. what that invitation on the fridge means.
No, they don't
it
understand.
It means so much. Yep. It makes me cry every time.
Yep.
It's, I just feel yep. like going out into the street and going, look, look at this.
I know, I know.
It's really 100%. Big.
It's really big. Yeah.
You yeah. just reminded
so
me of something.
So we celebrate everything. Everything, yes. every All little thing yes. we celebrate
yes.
huge.
Yes. Yes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You just reminded me, what award did you win? Was it a couple of years ago, like an entrepreneur something? Tell me, because you were up yes, against my friend Helen. And I was like, who do I vote for? What am I meant to do?
Yes.
So I think I voted for you both at separate times because I didn't know what to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago, I think, through the Oz Mumpreneur Awards.
Yes.
It was Emerging Oz Mums, so women in business who have been in business for, I think, 1 to 2 years. So, right. Yes, Helen was there.
Yes, you were up against
Helen.
Her.
She's amazing.
Yes. So then when you won, I was like, yay. She didn't mind. But
yes, exactly. And I think that's, I love chatting to people. I love talking to people. I love connecting. And I feel like it's so important to find your people. And I enjoy hearing people's stories because it lifts me up. And I
yes,
find comfort
definitely.
In hearing everyone's story. Yeah. There's something so powerful in a personal journey.
So powerful.
I feel.
Mm. Yeah, there is. Stories are everything.
Yeah, well, really. If you had the product but you didn't have William,
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Great stencils, good idea.
Yeah.
But with the story and the love and that whole thing, that just jumps out to me times 1,000. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, I'm certainly excited to see. And I think, you know, little things like it's not easy. I mean, you both know that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here saying it's super easy, but I'm trying to see the positives in everything, and I'm seeing the good in everything.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a much.
If you can tilt that axis, which is not possible always, I'm not going to be, you know, someone's fairy godmother here or carry on like that. But if you can and you look at things in a different way, it's mind-blowing.
And it's better ultimately for the children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So when mothers are supported to be able to tilt, then that's ultimately – so much better for the children.
So much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they see me happy and encouraging and supportive, then they're going to be better, you know?
Yep.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's a game changer. And then when you realize that things that other people perceive as a deficit, but when you live with it, you're like, no, it's a huge positive.
Do you know how funny it was this morning watching BTN with Molly with the, you know, it was just such a funny little moment this morning. And I thought, people don't have this.
No.
It's just so funny.
It was just the other day that we were at the supermarket and William loves going to the supermarket. Yep. I know at Coles they still do that 11 o'clock, you know, at Coles, which is amazing. Like I love that they've done that.
Yeah.
But he actually doesn't mind and he loves putting things in the trolley. And I had to laugh the other day because I said, oh, all right, you can pick that off the, you know, off the rack and put it in the trolley. I said, but don't throw it in the trolley. And he said, no, Mum, I'm going to chuck it in the trolley.
Much better.
Yeah, so he's so literal, so yes. literal, you know.
Oh, no, hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
The best things.
I know, the best
yeah,
things.
You really do have to laugh at those little things and
it changes your whole day.
Oh, it really does.
Yep.
It really does. And even the little comments that you guys say on the podcast, it just I have to just laugh because I get it.
No, no.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And that's only the ones we can tell.
I know.
There's like a whole other thousands of stories we can't tell.
There really are.
There really are.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I know. I'm an emotional person anyway, and I find that I cry more than, I don't know, since having the boys, I think yes. I've cried.
My hearts are softened.
I think that's motherhood.
Yeah, I think that too.
And I know there are people who have really soft hearts that aren't mothers.
Yes,
so don't,
that's true.
I don't want to say that, but I think for me it's changed a lot of how I perceive the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Especially diverse mothering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different story. Exactly. And I think for us it's, you know, William has the most gentle soul. He wouldn't hurt a fly. But for us at this point, so he's at grade two now and we're now going through the hopefully dual school, so special school and mainstream at the moment.
Right.
So that's our challenge at the moment, whether mainstream will be a great fit for him. But it's his OCD, anxiety and repetitiveness that we're struggling with.
Yes.
So, you know, lights turning on. Mm. Oh, no, I didn't turn it on. I have to go and turn it back off again and then turn it back on again.
Yes.
Or if I'm walking along the footpath and there's a crack, I have to go back in the road and walk over it. And, very much OCD and that's our struggle at the moment. So we're trying to work on that at this point.
That feels overwhelming, you know, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think just the, you know, I try and understand what goes on in his little brain sometimes. And yesterday he was pretty angry.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, well, it's not fun that you're not at school. I know you love being at school and he probably doesn't understand what's going on.
That's right.
No. Well, we don't really understand.
No, I'm rattled. So
fair enough,
they're rattled.
Oh,
So
rattled.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And triggered because we did this for 160 days or whatever last year. So even though I know the contact tracing's better and I know everything's better, you know.
It still happened.
And there's people immunised. We're still scared that. And the children go, well, oh, it's been extended again. They just know it happened last year, you know?
That's it. That's it. Exactly.
When school goes back, will he happily go back or does he do any school refusal or?
Thankfully, he happily goes back.
Great.
He actually loves school. This year particularly, he's found a few little buddies that he just adores. And it just melts my heart.
I know. I love all the friends. The best.
But it's just the best, honestly. Yep. It really, and it's only been this year I've noticed. I had a few tears the other day. Ryder was at the park and a few friends of his from school were at the park as well. And so they got to have a little play. And I said to Ryder, how exciting you got to see your friends at the park. And William said to me, I wish I had a friend, Mum.
There it is. There it is.
My heart just sank. I literally didn't know what to say. I was trying to hold back the tears.
Yeah.
You know, he's starting to notice things and, you know, why can't I just go and hang out with my friends and why can't I talk to them like Ryder talks to them? And I suppose for me I see both worlds.
That's
how I feel with my twins. You just boom, you're in these two different worlds. All the time. It's confronting.
And it's hard. It's like you said in the other podcast I listened to last week, you try not to compare, even though there's only 19 months between my boys.
Yeah,
but
of course
they're probably at similar levels.
Of course you do.
Oh, it's easy to say you're not going to do it, but yeah, I mean,
it's real, human nature.
Yeah, it is human nature.
Yeah,
exactly. So, as I said, I'm just, I love them and adore them both, and they both bring me so much joy, but just have so many different challenges that they both need, and I've just got to be that support and treat both of them as their needs are different, and that's okay. Do you know what I mean?
That's okay. And some days it's completely fine, and then some days it's not, and it feels heavier.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's only heavy and because you love them so much.
Yes, that's right.
And you want their life to be easy.
Yes.
Like all parents, we want our kids' lives to be easy, and we know our own lives weren't easy, so their lives probably aren't going to be easy, but that's all we want.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's heavy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. And I think you know, writing things down for me has really helped.
Yeah,
journaling
sounds like it.
Finding the people that get it, because there was, you know, family and friends that would try and understand, and they were doing their best, and of course they wanted the best for me and wanted to try and understand. But until you're in the situation, it's really hard, isn't it, to explain?
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of the time, yes, I mean, I'll take help. If you offered to come and do my ironing, I'd say, sure, babe, come around. But
not right now.
A lot of the, obviously not during lockdown. But a lot of the time it's also just someone who has an inkling of what it's like.
Yeah. So whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever it is, whatever you're going
through. I'll take any pain. I've said it before.
Yeah.
Just a person that understands a bit of what it's like to be just not on the same road as everyone else.
Yeah. And then they don't try and fix you.
No.
They just they're the best sort of people.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, there's so much in our case, there's so much, I suppose, awareness of autism out there, but there's certainly not enough. And I suppose my job and my hope is to just spread more awareness and acceptance. More acceptance that it's okay to be different.
Yes. Yeah, that's,
you know, it's okay to do things differently. If everyone would see that, you know, how boring would the world be if we were all the same?
I know. And I know there's a lot of awareness for a lot of things, but awareness and acceptance are really, really, really different, you know. So you can be aware of a swimming pool, but you can't swim. So I'm a bit on the, yes, I love awareness days, but also can we just accept people that are different? And they're only different because you think a certain way. Maybe they're not different. Maybe we are. Like,
that's right.
Yes, what is normal, right?
I know. So, yeah, we're so obsessed with it. Ugh.
Well, you are doing an amazing job.
You are doing an amazing job.
Can I just ask quickly how Ryder is in his development after being born prem and that tricky start to life?
Yeah.
You don't have to disclose anything. You just say generally. You know.
Yeah, he's doing great now. You would not know that he was a tiny, tiny baby. You would not know that he's a preemie. He had some complications early on. So when he's, I think, about 12 months old, he had an operation. I remember the pediatrician telling me that he had hyperspadias.
Right.
And I was like, what is that? So he's okay for me to share it. But basically his little pee hole where when he goes to the toilet, his hole was underneath his penis.
I've had a couple of friends with this.
Right, okay.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yep.
I've never heard of it.
I know, and they're all like, I've never heard of this. I'm like, well, this is weird because you're like the third person who's told me, so maybe people don't talk about it.
I don't
get
any penis talk. No one tells me about their kids' penises. So must be just an exclusive
and maybe
club.
It's a boy club.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I didn't know anything about it. So about 12 months he had an operation to correct all of that.
Yep.
And then another year later, so he's had two operations down there. And then also he had a cyst form on his nose. Aww. And I remember our surgeon saying, I don't know if this is true, but with preemies, sometimes a lot of things happen in the midline of babies. So he had this cyst form on his nose. Again, it's in the middle of your body, and they weren't sure what it was. So he had an operation on his nose, and then it grew back again. So he had to have another operation. So it's got a little scar on his nose. So that was about four operations by the time he was three or four,
I think. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, and just another, he had the scans on like a cranial CT scan just to make sure that his little head was, all that sort of thing. But he is a smart little boy.
Yeah.
He's just a funny, cheeky little thing now. And, you know, William is just his big brother, Will.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
He adores him and he knows he's different and he... He knows he's got his little quirks, but that's just normal. That's his big brother Will.
That's right.
And he has had to, I feel like he's a bit more accepting of everything because of what his big brother is
the
like.
The superpower of siblings.
Yeah.
I had to laugh. There was a Facebook memory that popped up on my phone the other day and it said, I had typed it all out. It was something like Ryder was yelling out to me like, Mom, William's yelling out to me. And I'm like, no, Ryder, it's okay. He's just being a hand dryer. So he loves hand dryers.
Of course.
Makes perfect sense.
So this hand dryer was going off. You know, as you do, you buy hand dryers for your son for Christmas.
Of course you do.
So, so he thought he was yelling out, but it was just the hand dryer. So.
That is so funny because my daughter's so scared of those hand dryers at the public toilets. So, you know, they're all so different, aren't they?
Oh, I know the Dysons. They're terrible.
I can't even go anywhere near them. No. Screaming.
I reckon this year we've turned a bit of a corner, but it's definitely like a conscious, okay, I know it's going to make a noise. I'll use it. But it's been, they're horrendous.
Horrendous.
I mean, I've had a fright from them before when someone just.
You're back up against it or something.
So.
Are your boys a bit scared of them, Kate?
They have been, yes. Yes. I wasn't talking about myself.
Well, you never know.
No, I could be. Yeah. But they're definitely getting better. But then I think also they dry their hands on their pants.
Well, there's that too,
you know.
Now, you told us about a code for the peas to use if they want to purchase some stuff on William Ready. Is that right?
Oh, I would love to offer your followers, if they want to check out our website, there's so many products we've just released and it put on the website so many new products.
I was just having a good look. You got our beautiful Remindables. Yeah.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We love them.
They are doing amazing. We're so excited to have them in our range now.
Great.
So 2Peas15, which is TOOPEAS15, and I would love to offer 15% off if anyone wants to jump on and have
peas. A look. Peas love it. Spine tingles.
We love those sort of sensory.
Oh yes, thank you.
Love them.
Oh, pleasure. If it can help everyone, you know, whether you're in lockdown, whether you're at school, whether you're at home, just wherever you are in your life at this point. There's so many products that have complemented our range that we've now brought in. Have a look.
Thank you. Yeah. So TOOPEAS 15.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be all in the show notes. We'll put it all in there.
You haven't got those little squishy pea things, have you, that everyone keeps tagging you in?
No, actually.
You don't need to get them. I've got them.
Yeah, I've got one or two or three.
Yeah.
They look like a little pea pod, and when you squeeze it, the little pea pops up and it's got a face on it. But I love you all, peas, and I'm happy for you to tag me, but I reckon once a day someone goes, have you seen this?
People give them to us. I'm like, thank you.
I know. And I don't know what company does them, but I think they're just like, why do we just keep getting tagged with these two peas?
Very cute.
Yeah. I haven't seen those. We'll
let you know. Yeah, we'll tag you.
We will tag you because why should I be the only one that's seen them, Mandy?
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, it is really, really funny.
We're coming towards the end of our time, but I want to ask you, is there anything we've missed that you would love to tell the world?
Oh, I don't think so. I feel like we've covered quite a lot, but I did want to read a poem.
Yes,
please.
Okay.
Yes.
And if I could, this is something that this poem actually sat on the toilet door of my nan's bathroom. Aww. And she's not with us now, but it used to sit there on the back of her door, and I adore it. The Aww. Author is unknown, but it brings me a smile. So I thought I wanted to end it, and hopefully I can read it for you.
Thank you, please.
A smile costs nothing but gives so much. It enriches those who receive it without making poorer those who give. It takes but a moment, but the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None is so rich or mighty that they can get along without it, and none is so poor that they can be made rich by it. A smile creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in business, and is the countersign of friendship. It brings rest to the weary, cheer to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and it is nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is of no value to anyone until it is given away. Some people are too tired to give you a smile. Give them one of yours, as no one needs a smile so much as he who has no more to give.
Oh, Julia.
So I just thought that is just, through our journey, you know, there's been some hard times, and you get the stares and you get people looking at you when there's screams in Kmart and meltdowns and, you know, it doesn't cost anyone anything to just be kind and ask for help and to give a smile, and, you know, it can literally change someone's day. I love that poem, and it really, really can help someone's day by just asking, are you okay, or opening the door for someone, or giving someone a little smile.
Yes.
Yes.
And actually, it can change your whole year.
And to quote 2004, Mandy, amen. It's a powerful word.
It is a powerful word.
It really sums everything up.
Yep, it really does.
It's just a shame when we don't use it anymore, so I'm bringing it back.
Bring it back, amen.
But thank you. You have changed my day today too.
Yes, it's been lovely talking to you.
Both of you being back here. I've been in my own head wallowing, so I'm really pleased to see you.
Yep.
And we're so thrilled to have your story out there for the P World.
Yep. And thank you for the little goodies that you sent for the kids.
Yes, thank you. She sent us a box of stuff. Yes. Oh, my gosh. You should have seen.
Pleasure.
That's what I mean about sitting there on BTN, and Molly's got the cloud ball thing, and she's just stressing about it, punching it, and she said, this is good. So thank you.
We just love sensory toys. Yeah. And, you know, my daughter's a pediatric OT, so she's got a box of them, and then the twins have boxes of them.
Brilliant.
And then, so funny how everybody that comes to our house ends up using
playing
them.
Playing with them,
adults. And I'm like, these are the best things ever.
Yes, yes. Mm. I was just thinking you need to print out your smile poster and maybe sell it.
Yes.
You know, that poem from your nana? Maybe put that on your page too, and then people can buy it. Because what a lovely thing.
Come
on. Yeah, because that's really special.
How about welcome to smile?
Welcome to smile.
Yes, I love that.
Welcome to smile.
Yeah,
really
we could all smile.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Regardless of what we're going through. Thank you so much. No. I just adore you both. I think you're amazing.
Love you
too. Thank you so much for creating this platform for all of us to just be ourselves and vent and cry and laugh with all you guys. So thank you.
Good. Well, we'll see you again one day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, Mandy, I love talking to her.
I know, wasn't she gorgeous? Oh,
just such a positive outlook.
Yeah, and when you meet someone, I remember we did the Spectrum Journeys conference as well. Yep. And there was just a smaller group of tables set up, and we just started the podcast. So I had my sleep stuff and I had a little two-piece thing, and she was down the end of the road with William Reddy, and I was just like, we've started a podcast, and she was just like, okay. I think I just talked her head off. And then a little while ago she messaged me and said, I've been listening and I love it. She came to our Yarraville show.
Yes.
She's super supportive.
Yeah. We're lucky. Yeah, so the peas are amazing.
I know, they're amazing.
They're so supportive.
Yeah. So if you need stuff, go and use that code, people.
Yeah. Use it.
Really good. Okay.
All right.
All right.
What made you cry, Mandy? Just remembering we're in lockdown when we're recording this.
All right. Well, I think everybody knows, especially in the Hangout, because I put a really sad post, which I had about 25 text messages from all my friends and family. Dad rang me, everyone. And so I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to be so dramatic, but I just saw all my friends with dead eyes everywhere. Mm. Just such dead eyes.
Well, so, I think you're right. The silence is
Loud. Yeah. And I just wanted to write that somewhere. And I was like, do I write it in Mamma Mia Out Loud? Do I write it in Chat 10?
I know.
And I thought, I don't actually want to share it in those pages. I want to share it in ours. And I just feel like all my friends are very sad.
I feel like sending a blog post off to Mamma Mia and go, print this. This is what it's like in Melbourne. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, like yesterday.
I do too. I can't read anything anyone's writing. It's trite.
When I was doing remote learning yesterday and the gas log fire would kick on and off and I was like,
the sound.
That's the sound because there's no TV on, there's no radio on, there's no podcast on. And I was like, that's right, we did that for months.
That noise.
And the sad thing for me, which I want to write in my little article that I haven't written, is winter makes Melbourne great. Winter gives us amazing cafes and galleries and music venue and football and just it's an amazing thing. And winter has stripped us of all that because it makes this virus spread and it's happened twice in winter. So all the things that make us Melbourne have been taken away from us and we don't have access to our city. We can't go more than 5 kilometres from our house and that's just crippling en masse for every Victorian, no matter what life you're living.
Yeah.
So, it's I just don't think you can understand. And I don't want to say that in a bad way to you interstate people, but I will say that I've got a little bit of a different perspective because I was in Sydney when the lockdown was announced. So my beautiful friend Claire, for her 50th, decided she wanted to go to Sydney. So we booked to go in January and a lockdown happened, so we didn't go. So she's like, let's just book for ages away. Let's just book for the end of May. So we booked and then I said, I'm going to go up a couple of days early. I've got friends up there. I'll go and see, have lunch with Jordan from Acast or have coffee with her. And P friend Lorraine said, oh, perfect, because my mum wants to go and we'll fly up with her on the flight because her mum's elderly and doesn't want to fly on her own. So then sure enough, on the morning I was like, oh, it looks like there's a few more numbers. Should I go? Should I stay? I was so conflicted. Anyway, we went, lockdown was announced, but we weren't in the cutoff where we had to isolate or any of that. I always obey the rules. Anyway, when I was in Sydney, and I love you, Sydney, you are the most beautiful city, people would say, oh, where are you from? And so I was just saying, Falls Creek, it's near Albury. And every person, oh, well, thank God you're not from Melbourne.
Mm.
And I just thought, I love our city.
Mm.
I'm so proud of being a Melburnian.
Mm.
Like, I am passionate about this city. I go into the city all the time. And I thought, and here I'm lying because I know that you think that we're dirty. And I'm not. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I get it because it's a scary virus. Mm. I really, really get it. And I had obeyed all the rules. I hadn't been in any hotspots because I had actually been at Falls Creek. So I knew that it was fine, but it's still that feeling of heaviness. And then you're like, I am here while the rest of my estate is in lockdown and I just wanted to go home.
Mm.
But then what made me really cry is we went to a ballet at the Sydney Opera House,
beautiful.
The Little Prince.
I love The Little Prince.
And the whole crowd was like clapping in unison and people were standing up and it was so moving and I thought, we've had that ripped away from us in Melbourne for like really a year. Harry Potter's just come back.
I know, I just bought tickets too.
And I know you went up and saw Hamilton.
I did.
It's just so strange that we're just a few hours drive away. It's just one country, but it doesn't feel like country.
It's not even one state
and
anymore.
I'm not judging you interstate people because I know that you have been unbelievably supportive, especially the Hangout Mums.
Yeah.
But we feel like we're all on our own.
Yeah.
We really, really, really do.
And everyone
and
in their own little house.
That. Yeah, in your own house. It's the Teeny Tiny Stevies. Have you listened to that song,
yes.
please? Annalise will put it in the show notes, but there's a line in the song that says, we used all of the space in our house. And I'm like, yes, all the space. No space.
No space.
It's just.
I've just been going and sitting back out on the front veranda again.
Yep.
It's all I can do. Yep.
Yep. It's all we can do. Anyway.
So, yeah, there was a lot of crying.
A lot of crying.
But what made a difference is I watched the Friends reunion.
Oh, did you watch it? I could actually stop
for a minute.
Okay.
I got binge for the 2 weeks and I'm going to cancel it.
I thought, so many people have done
that,
I think.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? I'm in lockdown, so I'll just get this for 2 weeks. And, anyway, I'm just going to watch as much as I can. So at first I thought, I don't know about this, but then I loved it.
Okay.
I loved
it. I haven't watched it. I don't know.
I was just thinking about everything, looking at all the facelifts, looking at Joey, who was, you know, fat and didn't care.
Yes.
Looking at, you know, Matthew Perry and how weird his face looks. And I don't know, but then just the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, if you were in the 90s and you love Friends, even if you didn't.
Well, my kids have all watched it.
Well, mine haven't, but a lot of people have, haven't they?
I mean, not the boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your big kids.
The girls, yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It actually made me laugh since the lockdown had been announced. I think I watched it the Friday night and I actually was chuckling.
Because we've got a couple of group chats and they were all going off about the Friends reunion.
So I did watch it. But you know what I thought? What's his name? Joey. What's his real name? Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a P. Because his daughter had a brain tumor, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, and I thought, look at him. He's the only one that doesn't care what he looks like.
Yeah.
He's not vain.
No.
He seems happy.
Yeah.
And I thought, out of all of you.
He just is who he is.
He just is who he is.
Ah, okay.
And so that's what I came, that was the conclusion that I came to, that peas, you know, like they go through.
Shit gets real and we are real.
Yeah, and they're real. He was real. Yeah. The others, we got the plastic surgery. Oh, my gosh. Anyway. Phoebe looked great. I'll give her that. I don't know their real names. I do know them, but
Lisa could.
Yeah, and I also watched Mayor of Easton, and that was awesome too.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
Yep. It's totally Broadchurch,
right,
the killing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's an American version of that.
Right.
So, but really gripping, and I didn't know what was going on till the very last.
Okay.
Yeah, bit.
All right.
So,
I might give it a go.
Yeah, so that made a difference. I just thought,
well, it's nice to escape for
a bit. I'll just lie here and watch a bit of TV, and then when the kids are around, which is all the time, then I'll just quickly watch it on my phone.
Yeah.
So I just sat out the front and watched it on my phone.
And puffy jackets are us.
Yep.
Anyway. Are us.
Yep.
So I've got two things that made a difference. One is that Mandy and I got sent Georgie Carroll's new book, Off the Charts, and it's just about she's an amazing comedian and she just writes about being a nurse, though.
Yes, I want
to
read
it. It's all about nursing. Yes, I've nearly finished it. I'll give it to you. It's easy to read. It's funny. She just tells funny anecdotes.
Great.
Apparently she's got a podcast where she tells like nursing anecdotes and stuff. So it's – yeah, you know what? I just enjoyed reading it.
Oh, great, great.
There's a lot of books that I can't read, but I really did enjoy it. Yeah.
Good.
So I'm still plodding my way through it, but I've enjoyed
it. You can read nurses. Nurses tell the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
The truth tellers.
Yeah, she's a truth teller and she's very caring. And so she talks about living with that, not burden, but being empathetic. Empathetic and how
that
huge.
Affects
you. It
can take over your life.
Yeah, yeah. So she's
– yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you want to buy it, that's all I'm saying. It's quite good.
Good.
I'm not going to be an influencer.
No.
And the other thing that made a difference is when I was in Sydney, I went to this ear piercer and got my ears pierced. And she's just the most beautiful, lovely woman. I'd seen her on Mia Friedman's stories. So then I sent Mia a photo and she's like, oh, you're meeting her. She's so lovely. And she does it in a beautiful old house and everything's clean. And because a lot of piercings are at Off Your Tree, if you know that place in Melbourne or Sydney, or Hairware Whorehouse or whatever that place is called. So this is just all, and all the jewelry's pretty. She only pierces.
What a nice idea.
It's really nice. She comes down to Melbourne once a month, COVID, and does a pop-up in Paran. So she was just so lovely.
Yeah, you didn't have to go to some sort of grungy place.
No, I didn't have to go past bongs and tattoos to get there. So
yeah, well, it's a business, people.
It is. I know. Yeah. She said she was thinking about it for 3 years. And then she said, oh, I just thought, I'll try and do it. And then Mia put it on her story.
Awesome.
And boom.
So that's awesome.
Mia is a very supportive person. So, yeah. So that was really nice too. You know, that's my make a difference. My not make a difference is remote learning, but I won't go on about it.
Yep. Yep. And a laugh.
Yep.
I can't remember what I was making. I had a barbecue chicken.
Yep.
And Molly comes over and says to me, is that the nipple? I said, no.
Chickens don't have nipples.
Is that chicken nipple? And I said, no. And I laughed. And then I said, no, it's chicken breast. And then she looked at herself and she goes, is that chicken puberty? And I said, yes, I guess it is. It's chicken. It's been through puberty.
Been through puberty,
And we're eating it.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. It was just so silly and hilarious. Chicken nipple? Is that chicken nipple? Oh, I was like, no.
Close.
Just comes out of nowhere, peas, as you know.
That's gold.
She's like, write it down.
Yeah, that's like, gonna I know be, it is. I'm going to always think it's chicken nipple now.
I know you are.
Can I have the chicken nipple, please? I prefer it.
I'll have a barbecue chicken nipple.
I'm not really a leg girl.
Can you cut it in? Can you cut it into eights? For the secret herbs and spices. Yep, that made me laugh.
All right. So the thing that made me laugh was for my birthday, beautiful number one daughter's boyfriend and one of the boys that works for me are brothers. And so they came and gave me this present. And there's, and I mean no offense by this, but I don't like the hashtag mum life, right? I see it on cars, and if you've got one, good, that's fine. I mean, I am publicly speaking about it now, but I don't often speak about my dislike of hashtag mum life, right? Because I'm like, hashtag, there's so much more to that than that hashtag. Anyway, so the work boys and number one daughter's boyfriend, they know that I don't like hashtag
mum life.
So they bought me a wine glass with like flowers on it that says hashtag mum life. And then number one daughter's boyfriend was like, the lady in the shop was like, your mum's going to love this. He said, like, it's actually for my girlfriend's mum. Oh, aren't you a lovely boy? I was like, no, he's stirring me. Anyway, so I sent it to him last night. Like I was having a drink, which I don't normally do on school nights, but COVID.
Yep.
So I sent it to him and he just replied back, oh, good hash brag. And I was like, hash brag? And I laughed and I thought, every time I see an influencer now, I just want to do a hash brag. With the hashtag.
Oh.
Anyway, every time I walk past Mum Life, it makes me laugh, which is funny because I don't like it, I really love it now. But don't buy me a sticker. I'm not putting it on the car. No, it's not. They're the ones I really despise.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not up for life.
No.
Like that.
No. Anyway, I don't even know what hashtag mum life is, but I've got a glass. So it made me laugh. Anyway, so before we finish, we want to thank all the supporters.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for rating and reviewing.
Yep.
We have the best listeners.
I know.
100%. You rate and review. You're so obedient. Better than my children. Much, much better.
Thanks for joining in the hangout.
Yes.
Especially sending love to all the Melbourne Victorian peas.
Yes, thank you. And
the over peas that were generous because they've been living it for a year, 18 months. Yeah.
And the people who have ordered our book.
Yes, thank you.
Fingers crossed we may, perhaps, if possible, do a book launch in Melbourne and Sydney. Sorry to everywhere else. We just can't commit to going anywhere.
Oh, we can't. I can't plan anything.
You know, we probably won't. We'll probably just do it from Zoom. The pod bar over Zoom. So let's be honest.
Probably what's going to happen.
But if we do get there, you can come and say hi.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll cross that bridge in 6 weeks. Yeah. We'll see what happens. So, but anyway, the book's coming out next month.
We're super busy. Well, we were.
Well, we were. Now we're doing nothing, but we're going to finish recording the book. They're all exciting things.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being on
our team.
Hang
in there. Keep going, peace.
Yep.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.